I'll give you a little introduction of myself. My name's Farron. For those that don't know me, I am from the South, as you can tell, the language, the accent. Just kind of filling in a little bit for George, giving him a break today. Like I told the other ones, I'm used to preaching on a, where I had a big, huge screen, so you won't be able to read some of this. Sorry. When I put it together, I'm thinking huge screen again. So just do the best you can. We'll be in Ephesians 4, so if you want to turn your Bible there, but I'm just going to go ahead and get started. You know, I read an article the other day. A little boy was sitting there. A preacher was introducing the people as they do, as most preachers do. You know, they shake hands. Hey, good to have you. Good, you know, as they come in the door. And he kept noticing this little boy from his church sitting there looking at this plaque on the wall. And the boy just kept looking up, looking. As the preacher's shaking hands and everybody's coming on in, he keeps looking at the little boy like, what is he looking at? What is he so intent? I mean, it's like the boy couldn't take his eyes off of it. So the preacher finally gets the best of him. He goes over to the little boy and goes, son, what are you looking at? And he goes, well, that plaque, what is this plaque all about? And the preacher goes, oh, we put this up to dedicate those who have died in service. The little boy's like, oh, okay. The preacher goes on to shaking hands and introducing people and saying hi and looks back over there again. That little boy hasn't moved. He's still just staring at that plaque. So once again, that preacher has to go over and ask him, you know, son, I thought I explained this to you. He goes, you did. He goes, but I got to know, which service did they die in? You know, so you never know what's going to come out of a little one's mouth. You never know what when you're speaking, if what you're saying is really what people are hearing. So I'm a person, no different than you, and I pray hard about my sermons. This isn't the first one. I've been in the past, I've been a preacher for about 3 years or so, a little less, but I tell everybody, and I mean this, whatever spoke up here, you should be here and make sure what's here is what's right and make sure you understand what I'm saying. So with that being said, we're going to go ahead and get started. Have you ever wondered, whenever you become that Christian, many people at initial Christianity, when they get the baptism, when they come up, you see those people that are excited. It's the new thing. And they're all in. You know, just like anything, somebody gets a new toy or a new anything, they're all in and they're excited. And all of a sudden, they're telling the world. But as time goes on, what happens? Many of us, where do I fit in? I keep seeing myself come back to my old sins. I see my old self sneaking back in. And so then you think, well, maybe I'm not the Christian that I thought I was supposed to be. Well, hopefully today I can answer that question. I can give you a little insight on that. Jesus did come to earth, and we all are just, we have the hope because of this, because of the baptism that we have, and Jesus coming to this earth for us. We should all feel the same as this guy right here all the time. But some of us start fading a little. But God has called each one of you. That's why the title is Christian Duties. He has called each one of you for a purpose. That's what when you first got that feeling to be baptized, you could feel that calling. It was right there. Believe it or not, it's still there. It's still on your fingertips. But the question comes, are you listening? Are you listening the way you was then? Because he's telling you, he'll give you that calling. Or maybe right now, are you making excuses? Many of us do it. I'm not qualified enough to tell anybody about this. I don't know this Bible that well. Man, if somebody asked me a question in here, I may have to give them an answer, and I don't know if I have that answer. You know, and then some of us, well, I'm not quite good enough. I've sinned too much. My past is too terrible. Or maybe you've tried other excuses. I'm tired of being the only one. It seems like I'm always the one that's doing everything around here. Can't somebody else step up and do it? Everybody's got their excuses, whatever they may be. You don't have to be some great, talented person to step up to God's calling. That's why he called you, to find him. That's why he called you. That's why you felt it. He'll guide you. He'll direct you. He'll give you the energy to do it. How many of us have said, I just don't have the energy to do this anymore. I'm so tired. He'll give it to you. You have to ask him. You have to be there. You have to listen to his calling. He's our great creator. He created you for a purpose. He's chosen you. He's chosen you to be that vessel to show others his light. He wants you to be that person, but you have to accept it. You have to want to do it. So the answer is, how do you show people God? You love them. How did Christ show us? He loved us. He still loves us. He gave his life for us. We were created out of love to love. He's awesome. So that's why when we read to Paul here, I want you to really think about what he's got to say here. Because in Ephesians 4, starts off, says, therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. What an introductory. What a way to start that off. You've been called by God. God wants each and every one of you to take that first step. Because you, believe it or not, in Sunday school we talked, it's kind of neat, about us, we're not worthy of what God's given us. Well, because of Jesus, we are worthy. So each one of you are worthy to step up and lead and show Christ to the world. If you're living the life, you're showing the world. You have that life worthy now. Because then you read on, it says, always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowances for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourself united in the Spirit, binding yourself together in peace. Humble. When I read that, every time I read the word humble, I always wanted to know, what does really humble mean? So, go to Google. I went to Google and said, humble living. What does it mean? This is the picture I got for humble living. It's a house on a little lake and just a little pretty nice green lawn. Humble living. You get to looking at that, and that's what people want you to believe that humble is. Well, I don't see humble quite as that, and I don't think God did too. I believe humble is bowing at the feet of our Lord. I believe humble is giving in to everything. I mean, just giving in. I don't want to say it. Let me think of a better word. Is finding yourself falling at the feet of the Lord for everybody. This morning, I made the comparison of work. Many of us work in a factory. I work in a power plant, been in power plants most of my life. And I'm the type, I'm the oddball. I work, and I work hard. When I go to work, I'm the one that gets out and sweeps the floor when everybody else is not doing anything or they're saying they don't have to or whatever, and things like that. And don't get me wrong, I fall into the trap all the time. Man, nobody else is doing it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to. And then I find myself falling into the trap of complaining about work, complaining about things. And then all of a sudden, God humbles me. He truly humbles me and tells me in different ways, and I can go here all day, but in different ways, be happy with what you got. I put you here for a reason. And believe me, right now, I'm struggling with just that reason, knowing where I'm at. So, when you come talk about humble, sometimes you may think people are walking on you. They're not. Sometimes that humility is what shows the face of God. If he was willing to humble himself to come down here for us, what little bit we can humble in our faith and our world isn't going to compare to what he did. And that's what humble is. Jesus. For there is one body, as you read on, one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future, there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all. First of all, he's living through us, people. He's living to everybody. And through us, we get to show the world what Jesus has done for us. So the more we show Jesus in our lives, the more the world gets to see that one God, one baptism, the one true God. As a church, we all need to stick together. We need to stay with one God, one faith. And it's when we start, and I'm not just talking about church itself, people. I'm talking about God's body, the body of Christ. We all have to stick to the same one God. It's when we start saying that the things like, you know, when people look at us and you got two Christians and two of them are saying two different things, that's not one body. We're fighting. We have to believe the same thing. We have to follow the same God. We have to open our hearts to the world, our home, together as one body, one faith. Because as you read on, it says, however, he has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. That is why Scripture says, when he ascended to the heights, he led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to his people. Notice that it says, he ascended. This clearly means that Christ also descended to our lowly world. And the same one who descended is the one who ascended higher than all of heavens, so that he might fill the entire universe with himself. Through Jesus, we are God's children. He humbled himself for us, and we should feel so humbled as well. We're beyond blessed. And he invited each one of us to his home. What a great, awesome future we have. We get to go spend an eternity in the mansion of God. And he's got a mansion up there built for us. And I said this earlier, I'd like to believe that Jesus did not build a mansion with a big back porch. I truly believe that he built a mansion with a huge front porch, because he wants everybody in his home. He's invited everybody to his home. And he's sitting on that huge front porch waving as everybody comes in the gates. Maybe with a glass of tea. I like tea. But, you know, he's literally a front porch God. And he calls us to be that front porch people. Truly, we are to be friends to the world. This morning, a lady up here, and I don't know her name, and I'm sorry, talked about how somebody came up to the gas station, was asking her for money, and she was all nervous and kind of scared, you know. And rightly so, in today's world, many of us fear that when somebody comes up that you're going to be robbed, you're going to be beat, I can go on and on to different things. Well, let me tell you, I believe that we're called to overcome that. That fear is not the fear from God, as in God put that fear in your heart. It's fear from the devil. He wants you to turn away from these people. He wants you to not give. He wants you to not invite people. Because then what does that show? It doesn't show love. And believe me, I came from a Memphis area. So we lived within a couple miles of Memphis. And there's some sketchy people in this world. I ain't going to deny it one bit. And there's been times that people have come to our church or come to my house or come to whatever, and it's scary. It truly is. But I tell my wife, and I truly mean this, if I ever help somebody, invite them in my car and take them for whatever it is, if I ever do something like that and I end up getting killed or died because of doing God's work, man, think about what good that is. How many prophets have died for following Christ? How many prophets were punished? And all we're called to do is take a chance. And many of us can't even do that. And I'm guilty. I mean, there's been people that have come to me, and I'm like, man, sorry, guy. You know, I'm scared of you. But I'm telling you, sometimes we're called to go past our fears, to be that front porch person. Because if you read on, it says, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and the teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. Yes, that's what the leaders are supposed to do. They're supposed to prepare us as a congregation to go out and lead. Believe it or not, that's what you're called to do. You're not called just to sit in the pews on Sunday morning and then go home and live the rest of your life and then come back next Sunday. That's not what the leaders are for, is to be up here on Sunday to teach you guys the Bible. That's not the only reason. They're to equip you so that you, as a person, as a God's child, can go out and witness to others. And you do that by the way you live. And that's what he's saying. These leaders are to equip you. And I really believe, I've seen them, I've been to many churches. The leaders here are doing that. They're trying, they're pushing. Now it's in your ballpark. That's what they're coming out here saying. You're to be held accountable to do God's work, to love the world, to love. The leaders and the preachers aren't the only ones. If Jesus didn't come to this earth because he feared, we'd be in trouble. Think about it. If Jesus would have said, man, they aren't going to be nice to me. Wait, they weren't nice to Jesus, were they? They may tease me. Oh, wait, they did tease Jesus. They may steal from me. They took his life from him. They may hurt me. Well, we know how that come out. I mean, think about it. That's what he's saying. I thank God every day of my life that Jesus didn't feel the way I feel about life. That he felt that he had to come down here for us. He humbled himself to that point. And he asked us to do just a little bit. This, as you read on, this will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard. If we all stuck together, think about how much this world would change. It would be a changed world. Jesus stuck together to his own teaching, his Father's teaching, and he changed the world. One man. One man. I couldn't have imagined if all of us stuck together and stuck to one faith, one God, and told the world about it, how much our world would change. I know it's hard. I know life isn't easy. And I know a lot of us, I'm dyslexic, and reading the Bible to me is one of the hardest things because of the way I see words. But I'm telling you, the more you study it, the more you look at it, the closer you get to God. The closer you are to God, the more his light shines to the world. But there's so many of us that have never even cracked the Bible. But we go by what this guy says, or that guy. If you're listening to me, and you're not coming here after that, or listening to George, I like George, I'm not saying he's a bad preacher by no means. Hey, if you're not testing his word, testing what he says, you're not doing your job. All of us are called to do that. We need to know God's word. And that's what is going on. He wants us to be one body. And we can't do that if we're not looking at the same book, listening to the same thing, our Lord and Savior. Because if you read on, it says, then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. So many people, that's what they're saying here. If we don't know this, how do you know what the person up here is saying is true? I could be sitting up here telling you guys something that was totally off the wall, and because you're listening to me and not checking me out or whoever, you don't know what I'm saying is true. I believe that God put it in my heart to say what I say. I truly do. I pray about it, but I'm not perfect. I'm by no means. I'm a person just like you are. George is a person just like you are. We all have faults. We all have difficulties. And that's what he's saying. He's telling us, as we grow as Christ's knowledge, as the more knowledgeable we get with Christ, the more we can show Christ's love to everybody. Loving Christ through loving everybody through his word. Because if you read on, it says, instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. I don't know if many of you guys will agree with what I'm about to say, but George is not the head of the church. Christ is the head of the church, 100%. Don't get me wrong. He's a great leader. But Christ is the head of the church. And the more we resemble Christ, the more we use the gifts that Christ gave us, the more we will resemble Christ. And that's where we're at. So if you see more giving, more friendliness, openness, and more love from those that don't believe, what would make us look or stand out? We're supposed to stand out. And doing that is by humbling ourselves. You know how much we stand out when somebody walks on you and you just say, hey, yeah, you know, I love you anyways, man. You're good. And not really faze you as much about somebody walking on you. That's how you stand apart. I loved it about 3 weeks ago, and I didn't say this morning, about 3 weeks ago or a month ago, I had a guy and at work start yelling and screaming at me. Anybody that knows me, I don't typically at work, I don't ever yell. I don't have a reason to, don't need to. A guy went off and was just yelling at me. The whole time, I just shook my head, and I walked away, didn't say much. And don't mind you, I am the boss. I came back later and said, do you feel better? And he kind of looked at me, and I was like, did you get it off your chest? Now let's work on the problem. And you want to know what? Everybody in that place decided, wow, this guy doesn't yell, does he? And they all know and saw Christ through me for not coming after them. Because most people would have came back with both barrels. And believe me, I was everything I could do, praying to God the whole time the guy was yelling. Just humble me, Lord. Humble me, Lord. I think that's all I said the whole time. I don't even know what he said. But it shows. That's the kind of stuff he's talking about. Use your gift of humility. Use your gift. If you can preach, get up here and preach. That's what he's talking about. Because if you go on, he says he makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. That's like we talked about this morning in church and Sunday school. We help each other. One body, I mean, how many times have we had a broken leg or something's broken on our body? How many have played sports or done anything and they broke something? Or those that are deaf or those that can't see, other things make up the difference for them. That's what we're supposed to be, one body, one church, one together. One starts hurting, we pick them up and carry them. Use our gifts to help them. That's what we're talking about here, because we're special to God. God gave us this. We are the people he chose to be here. That's why you took Christ as your Savior. That's what it comes down to. That's how you stay strong. That's how you keep going on. That's how you be that bright Christian that came out of the baptism when it did, is you keep following the faith. You keep trying to resemble God. We're not always going to do it. We're going to fail. That's when we have these other people in the church to help us get through it. God's called each one of you to this world for a purpose. And I ask you, what is yours? What is your purpose? And I'm not big on that purpose-driven stuff. That's not what I'm getting at here. I'm saying your real purpose for God. Not for yourself, for God. This world wants everybody to revolve around itself. I want to revolve around God. I pray you do too. What is your purpose? If you ask God, he'll guide you there. So right now, as they come up to do this last song, you can either come to the leaders in the church if you're struggling. They'll pray with you. They'll talk with you. Whatever you need. If you're having struggles, if you don't know what your purpose is, don't ask the leaders to tell you. Ask God to tell you. He truly wants what's best for you. Thank you.